We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Hour 2 of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yerzynski wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate. And Yerzynski not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go.
Step up to the plate for Hour 2 of the Hot Corner.
Posetnik getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Rudnev's a nope. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed any first hour, you can check that on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Speaking of podcasts, Beers on Us podcast drops tomorrow at 4. Get that wherever you get your podcasts, including at 1080thefan.com.
You got to be in to do it.
You got to be in to do it. We've been talking all show about this made-up league, and I just looked at, like, briefly ran through all the positions according to this list. It's not as deep in positions as you would think.
I didn't expect it to be that deep. I guess.
I think things get crazy if you put all the outfielders together. But this has it broken down by left, center, and right.
Yeah, right.
So it's center field. I mean, center field, it gets hairy quickly.
But outfielders, too, can play usually all three positions. Well, not usually, but oftentimes outfielders can play multiple positions in the outfield.
Number 14 is Jim Edmonds.
Oh,
see what I mean?
That's my birthday buddy right there.
I like Jim Edmonds a lot, but I mean, it just kind of, it changes quickly. Bernie at 23, Fred Lynn at 24, sneaky good pick.
So we were right with Bernie being in there. That's good.
Johnny Damon at 26.
I mean,
Curtis Granderson is 31.
I mean, but that makes sense based on his career, right? It's, I don't know. I guess we overestimated just the amount of true greats that there are.
Yeah, I think we think
especially
there's just
if we're,
like,
if we're filling a league, we overestimated how many true greats that there are. And just for those who missed it earlier, it was the thought was if all of the best players in baseball could take some sort of magic pill in the history of baseball, you can put a limit on it if you want. We were discussing not including guys from like the 1800s we've never heard of, but whatever. You take a pill, that means you don't get any negative effects of aging. You can just keep playing baseball forever. The league today, with all 30 teams being filled with all these guys, what would it look like? And then we started doing the exercise of like top 30 players at each position, and here we are. An hour later, down the rabbit hole we go.
Interesting tidbit to go along with that. There are only 232 former Major League players in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. That's interesting.
So there's plenty of room for non-Hall of Famers.
I
tried to look up how many hitters, and it doesn't show me. Well, I mean, I'm sure I could figure it out. But.
Well, yeah, and you said like Mark Teixeira is on the first base list, so not a Hall of Famer.
No.
But he'll be playing in this league.
Good juice switch hitter though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also a good analyst now.
Yeah, I do like him on TV. I'm watching the Astros Angels game right now, and Jake Marisnik just scored on a single of some sort. Did you see his collision with Jonathan Lucroy?
Before the All-Star break?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. He did full body launch into Lucroy's head, which did not have his mask on because he threw it off to make the play, and gave him a broken nose and a concussion and all sorts of other things.
He blew him up.
Yes.
I haven't seen a good blow up like that in a while. It was awesome.
I mean, it was awesome, but it wasn't at the same time.
Well,
right?
Maybe the right.
He trucked him. He shouldered him in the head.
Yeah.
Full Superman.
Maybe the right fielder should have thrown that ball at the plate and not had Lucroy go up the line.
I, I suppose.
I suppose that's the reality.
But why is Jake Mariznick flying through the air into his head? What is the point of that?
Well, I think what happened was Mariznick was trying to take the inside, and at the last minute, Lucroy moved to the inside, and it was just like, well, here we go.
I don't know. As a former catcher, when I see plays like this, I don't particularly like watching them. It just, like, I mean, look, I caught in high school. It wasn't like I was a great player or anything like that. But
what? You're not on the top 30 list? I'd only gotten to 10.
No, sorry. I'll be number 3,945 out of the high schoolers that are on that list. but it was, I don't like watching stuff like that, and I don't want to blame anybody for it outside of, if you're intentionally trying to truck the guy, then I blame the runner, obviously.
Totally.
You're trying to break up the play, which is now illegal, by the way.
And I'm not arguing that.
But I'm not sure if Mariznick did what he did intentionally. Because the way, like, watching the replay, it looks like he's trying to headhunt him. That's what it looks like. I mean, he's not elbowing him in the head, but I mean, what runner is flying completely horizontal, parallel to the ground, just into the catcher's head? It's weird. It's not like he didn't slide. He launched. He launched himself full Superman. And that's why I said it, because he's literally in the air completely into his head. I mean, I don't want to say there's intent there, but that's a really stupid play by Mariznick.
Well, it's a tie ball game. Division rival.
So jump over him.
Got to get the... Ooh, that'd be sick.
Well, you've seen that before,
I want to see more of those.
The little forward flip over the catcher.
I want to see more of those. I don't know, man. I think this thing is tough. I think if you're Mariznick in that position, I think Lucroy moved so late, like so close to the contact, that if you're Mariznick, I don't know what you're supposed to do. You're trying to run as hard as you can to get to score that run. That's why I don't understand this rule, and that's kind of what I'm alluding to. I don't get it. Like, what's he supposed to do if you're Mariznick at that point?
I mean, my assumption would be to try to slide around him or to jump over him, not dive into his body.
Jump over him? I mean, that looks cool, but that's not real.
We've seen that multiple times.
Right,
but
that's not real. That's not a real thing to expect a runner to do because the catcher comes up the line.
I think
once the catcher comes up the line, you're fair game.
I get the point, but the catcher's job is to get the ball, right?
Understood. Then it's the right fielder's fault for not getting it to him at the plate. He's got to go up the line.
But it's not like it's an easy thing to make an accurate throw to home.
Right, I agree. I just think that when...
It's tough to place blame on this.
I'm not trying to place blame. It's the rule that I don't understand. It's the interpretation of the rule that I'm placing blame on. As much as I don't like Jonathan Lucroy, I don't want to see anybody, like, physically hurt and potentially end their career, you know? This is not Pete Rose at the All-Star game. I'm not interested in that. But I need some clarification. Because he's called safe on the field, and then replay calls him out. And I don't know how to be okay with that. Because I think as he's running as fast as he can, and then Lucroy...
Remind me, was he not tagged? The ball was knocked loose?
The ball was knocked loose.
Did he touch the plate?
Yes.
Then I think by the letter of the law...
He was called safe on the field.
He would be safe.
And it was overturned by instant replay.
I think he would be safe because it's catcher interference, because... The catcher is no longer allowed to fully block the plate.
But they instant replayed it, and New York called him out.
I don't understand that. Could that have been just like a makeup call? Like, dude, he dove into his head.
Yeah, it's because Lucroy got blown up.
Right, and he dropped the ball because he got hit in the head.
He dropped the ball because he got blown up.
Wow, great catch by George Springer.
George Springer, are we watching the same game?
Yeah.
Why is he playing right field?
He's really one of the only games on right now.
Oh, because Mariznick is playing center.
I don't know.
Speak of the devil.
I guess I understand MLB overturning that because of the nature of the play, but I mean, yeah, if the letter of the law is the catcher can no longer fully block the plate. I think there's some leniency to that, but you know, you used to see catchers when they would catch the ball on a play at the plate, just full body right in front. You would see guys do full trucks as they stood there and waited for them. And now you always see them. They do the leg. They're at the front of the plate, but their left leg is always blocking the slide so that the guy has to go around, and he does that slide where he kind of twists or tweaks his body and he sticks his left hand in there to touch the plate. And that's technically still blocking the plate, but they let him get away with it because, well, what else are you supposed to do? Just give him a clear path to the plate when your job is to stop him from scoring? So, I mean, I don't know. I think the rule is fine. I just think this particular instance was so extreme, they probably overturned it because of that.
Do you think Mariznick deserved to get drilled yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. I think he knew it was coming, too. Did you see his reaction? He got hit, and he was like, oh, saw that coming. And he just strolls to first.
And then Albert Pujols starts yelling at the entire Astros bench.
Well, yeah. Why not? I guess the Astros bench was mad because it was at his back, and it was a little too close to his head.
It was like a headshot. Well, guess what? A headshot for a headshot, right?
It's true. I got no problem with that stuff.
Me neither. I
had zero problem with it.
I understand why people think the unwritten rule stuff is stupid, but I love it so much.
It causes drama. That's why we love it.
I know. I like the drama. Give me more drama, man.
Yeah.
It's the Jersey Shore of baseball.
Yeah. I love when you got to love when they give pitcher suspensions. I don't remember the pitcher that hit Mariznick. But it was like, they gave him a 3-game suspension. He's like, cool, I won't pitch for 3 days. You know, it's not like, you know, Mike Trout suspended for 10 games. Like, that's a big deal. That's a great catch, too.
Wow. That's why Mariznick's in center.
Yeah, that's why he's in center.
Also, I'm a little bit annoyed at the Angels for that, though, because now you probably woke the Astros up. They've been slumping. Mm-hmm. They haven't been playing well, and now all of a sudden they're going to be all PO'd and happy to go.
Oh, here's the Yankee kid all scared that he might not win number 28 or 29, whatever number you're at.
Just saying the Astros are really good and
they are super
probably
good.
Better than the Yankees. So if they see them in the playoffs, I'd rather them be in a slumping. Not that it doesn't make any sense, but in baseball fans' mind, it's like they're slumping in July. So in September or October, they're going to stay slumping, right?
Yeah, they're not going to be good no more.
No.
Can't hit ball.
Keep going this way.
No throw ball well either. No throw ball good. You like how my grammar instantly kicked in there. Right. And it was like, you can't say good. You got to say well. Yeah. Wow, that caveman has great grammar for a Neanderthal.
Why is he saying either? Do cavemen even know that word?
It's either. All right, when we come back, the trade deadline's coming up soon. I want to get into that to see what guys we think might be moved and who should buy and who should sell. Thrilling radio coming up next. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.816 here on The Fan. We got Fair Foul coming up in 15 minutos.
Red Sox bullpen trying to blow it again.
Channel, please.
457.
I will always watch this team that, quote, does not need bullpen help have their bullpen blow up.
It was 5-3 going into this inning. Two strikes, two outs. Grichuk is up. Two on. Now it's 5-4.
Grichuk, get it, baby.
Three-run home run.
You remember 4 years ago when I was like, he's going to be the dude.
He never turned into the dude.
Good thing I also said so would Christian Yelich.
Working both sides right there.
Just 50-50 chance. Making sure we got everything covered here. Your future MVPs are going to be Randall Grichuk. He's just that classic St. Louis Cardinal.
The reason I turned this on is I have a friend from college who I follow on Twitter who works in sports radio and somewhere in Massachusetts right now. And his tweet was just yet another hysterical performance by the Red Sox bullpen. And I was like, where's the game? Are they losing? Nope, not yet, but maybe they will.
Well, when you said the bullpen was trying to blow it, I was like, channel, please. That's must-watch TV for me. And it's all because, as we're going to get into this, you know, early preview of the trade deadline, which is coming up, I think next week we should really hit it hard. But the Dave Dombrowski came out and said that he doesn't think the bullpen needs help.
Yeah, it's a very strange. Both him and Cora are doing very strange things talking about the bullpen, because if you've ever watched the Red Sox bullpen, they've got some guys who have decent ERAs, right? You look at some of the, even the guys who have struggled, they have decent ERAs, but yet then when you watch the games and they're always in trouble, always blowing leads, always having guys who are giving up a run or two when they shouldn't, and it's like, you sure you don't need bullpen?
Yeah, nope. It's like, I think their stats are good. But well, it's
they're
like,
not great, but they look good on paper.
Yeah, they look good on paper because it's like we're winning 9-1 and our bullpen doesn't give up anything. But when it's 4-5, it's like, yeah, we're going to lose the game.
That is true. It's almost always in close games that they give up these runs.
Yeah.
Too.
You know what happens in the playoffs?
Close games.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Do you know who you're
going
to play in the playoffs? If you even make it. Like, this team might not even make the playoffs.
That is true. Although I feel like they will still find their way in. But, yeah, they might not even make the playoffs. That is a very strange thing.
Oh, come on, Greed Chick. You're killing me here, bro.
Only got out of it. It's okay.
Whatever. Alex Cora's like, whoa! I need to go take a deuce right now. That was tight.
That was the game right there. If we blew it, we had to trade for a closer.
Yeah,
we didn't. We're good. Ryan Brazier, come on in and give up four more runs again. leads into the trade deadline talk.
Yeah. The trade deadline should be quite interesting. I've been listening to, you know, a bunch of different reading and listening to a bunch of different baseball stuff, and everybody's got high hopes that this is going to be a big one. That it's going to be good. There's a ton of buyers, ton of sellers. Everyone's in rebuild mode.
Yet there's been very little rumors lately. It's just kind of,
yeah,
it feels quiet right now.
Yeah, it's just all the rumors we hear are like the Blue Jays will trade Marcus Stroman. But you're like, to who? Nobody knows. What's the asking price? Nobody knows. Mad Bum is going to get traded. But now the Giants are three games out of the wild card.
Right.
You know?
And they're hitting all over the place all of a sudden.
Trevor Bauer is going to get traded. The Indians are five games out of first and two games up in the wild card. You know, like what are we going to do here? And then the Mets, who are a sinking dumpster fire, quote, an exec said today that to get Syndergaard would take, quote, two arms and a leg to get him.
And then they were trying to trade Zach Wheeler, but he got hurt with a dead arm, and now he's probably not going to get traded.
Oh, God. That is like, do not touch.
Right.
Do not resuscitate.
The thing is, he was pitching well this year, yeah, Wheeler was, and that was all these teams were interested in, and then he goes on the IL, and it's like, yeah, well, maybe that'll push his price low enough that someone will still trade for him.
Yeah.
But,
What are you more interested in? Trying to take our teams out of it, because I'm deathly confused what to do with my team. Are you more interested in to see the players that move or which teams bolster up?
The players that move, yeah. I'm more interested in.
I think so, too.
Because I think we know the teams that are going to bolster and the teams that are going to sell. And there is some intrigue in the middle there, but generally you know it's going to happen. But I think there might be a guy or two who are traded who have not been talked about all too much, right? Mm-hmm. Like all we keep hearing is Stroman and Mad Bum and Bauer and – that's basically it for the starters, but you mentioned a guy like Syndergaard got brought up today, or Wheeler. I wonder if there's going to be – we've also heard a lot about Mike Minor from the Rangers, although he has faded slightly. I mean, is there just going to be some random guy who's really good? Like yesterday or 2 days ago, Andrew Kashner got traded to Boston. And you're like, what? And you realize, oh, he's doing okay for Baltimore this year. I guess it makes sense to get another starter, whatever. That kind of guy.
He got lit.
I know, he
night.
Did not pitch well.
I got him on my fantasy team, and I was like, oh, he went to Boston. He's going to get lit.
And he did. I'm more interested in who moves because I like to find those guys who are surprise trades where you're like, oh, really?
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I'm really interested in like Sugar Diaz, Brad Hand.
Sugar Diaz sucks now.
Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith blew a save yesterday.
Yeah, right? You know, I'm interested in these guys. Like, they are guys that are going to get moved.
And bullpens are so tricky at the trade deadline because those guys are so flaky, right? Like Brad Hand last year was a good acquisition for the Indians, but I don't think he was as good in Cleveland as he was in San Diego.
Nope.
And I've heard some talk about Kirby Yates in San Diego, who's their closer.
Kirby Yates is going to get dealt, they think.
Well, maybe, yeah. And, I mean, he's been amazing for San Diego. But this is, I mean, he's not a guy that people thought was an elite closer. So you trade him. Is he going to have the same low expectation, easy kind of flow to his game, or is it going to be different? I don't know.
And, I mean, I think this is where the team part comes in because there is obviously some intrigue in team as well. But, like, is anybody going to get, like, a Yankee haul for Andrew Miller or Aroldis Chapman like they did?
I was reading.
Although neither of the guys they got for Andrew Miller really play for their team anymore.
Well, one of them was traded. And the other guy played well, but likely going to get traded.
Likely going to get traded.
I read something the other day that said, is this team's Aroldis Chapman? And I think it might have been like the Nationals or something. And it was a guy who was going to be a free agent that they could likely get back, but they wanted to get something for it. I'll see if I can find that article in a moment. But there was a guy that was mentioned as a potential Aroldis Chapman kind of move, which I thought was very, very fascinating. It might have been the Cubs.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, not that the Cubs are going to be sellers, but they're kind of a weird team right now. I'll look for it, but I would love to see another move like that, because that's the move, that's the smart move, right? Mm-hmm. Give that team that's desperate for that last piece their guy and just ask a ransom for him.
Well, and I'm interested, if I cut my biases out, because I'm, like I said, I'm freaking out about the Indians right now. There's two things that I'm really, really intrigued leading up to the deadline, and they're both kind of combined. They're both related, I should say. My number one thing is, what are they going to do with Mad Bum? Who's going to take the flyer on Mad Bum? If he goes to the Yankees, he's going to look really weird in pinstripes.
Yep.
But also, what's going to stop Madison Bumgarner from just going to whoever, finishing out the year, and then going right back to San Francisco?
That's true.
You know what I mean? I mean, they let him do whatever he wants.
If he really wants to go back, yeah. I mean, he doesn't really fit the city of San Francisco in his personality, so I wouldn't be surprised if he wanted to go somewhere more
Texas.
Up his alley, yeah, like a Houston or a Texas. Or
you got an expansion team in Mississippi coming?
Yeah, maybe. By the way, the guy I was looking for, it was the reverse. Here, it's on the Dodgers. This is the blurb. The Dodgers aren't a perfect team. The catchers haven't hit much, and maybe they're a little too left-handed in the lineup, but this is the best team of this run that will reach a seventh straight division title. The biggest flaw, however, is the bullpen. It's not terrible. 10th in the majors in ERA, and it will be better in the postseason when Kenta Maeda or another starter is moved there. Still, the guys in front of Kenley Jansen have yet to prove their reliability, and Jansen himself has struggled in October. The Dodgers need a big-time reliever to shore up the end game. This is basically their Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman moment. Do what it takes to get Kirby Yates.
Mm.
So they would give up a top prospect to get that guy to push them over the top, like the Cubs did to help them win that World Series.
Right.
And then...
and they can't go back-to-back-to-back years with not a ring.
Right. And then Yates would likely... I guess Yates is probably a free agent, so Yates would leave, and they would have gotten their ring mm-hmm. in this universe.
Yeah.
And lost a good player for it, but they made the move to do it.
But go ask the Cubs. Are you happy? Are you cool with giving up Gleyber Torres for that ring?
Hell oh, yeah.
You ask Indians fan, are you good with giving up Clint Frazier and Justice Sheffield to get so close with Andrew Miller? Oh, you bet your sweet bottom dollar.
Although Clint Frazier would look really nice in the outfield right now.
You and me would look good in the outfield right now. At least we got Mercado. But I think that's really interesting. I mean, and to switch over like back to like what I was talking about with Mad Bum, it's like, I really, really, really desperately want to see the Brewers make a deal. Make a deal. Get a starting pitcher for the life of you. Go get anyone.
Well, here is what this article
don't care.
Says. This article was one move that every team should do at the trade deadline. Brewers acquire Zach Wheeler.
I was just about to say, watch them go get Zach Wheeler, and he's totally fine.
The Brewers are 19th in the majors with a 4.71 rotation ERA, but that is ballooned to 5.62 in July. Bumgarner would be a possible fit, but the Brewers probably don't have the minor league depth to beat out other teams for his services or for one of the other pitchers with team control beyond this year. Wheeler is obviously a wild card given his health, but the Brewers are in a position where they have to roll the dice.
They got to. They got the bullpen. You have the bullpen. You have Craig Kimbrell. You have Hader. You can, Woodruff is now a starter, but I mean, you've got the pen. You need a starter. That's why I think it's so dumb they didn't go get Dallas Keuchel. So dumb. I want this team in a World Series desperately.
You want to hear some other interesting tidbits from this article before we go?
Shoot.
They say the Yankees should get Bumgarner is what their obvious choice is. They say the Rays should get Dominic Smith from the Mets.
Oh, really?
Because he's a guy who doesn't have a position, but he actually hits, and they need some help with their mix-and-match lineups. Red Sox acquire Ian Kennedy for the bullpen.
Oh!
I mean, I don't know if he's better than what they have, but he's another guy they can use.
Well, I think the reason the Red Sox say they don't need bullpen is because they're getting Eovaldi back soon, and he's going to be their closer.
He's going to move into the bullpen.
Yeah, he's going to be their closer.
Minnesota Twins acquire Noah Syndergaard.
Ooh, that loaded?
I don't know, but imagine that, huh? It says they'd probably have to part with top prospect Royce Lewis, who we know about.
I have him on in Berkshire.
Or outfielder Alex Kirilloff, and a pitcher like I'm not going to say that name. And a pitcher like blank or Jordan Belazovic. But Syndergaard would be a beast away from the circus in Queens. Plus, as they say, flags fly forever.
Oh, my God.
Cleveland Indians. You're going to love this one.
Yeah.
Acquire Nick Castellanos.
Oh, God, kill me. Absolutely shoot me. What's next? You got to take Miggy's contract, too?
Astros acquire Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, that's the big thing. At first, there was a lot of the Astros. The talk was that they might go get Trevor Bauer. But now it seems like maybe it's Marcus Stroman. I heard maybe the Braves might be interested in Marcus Stroman because what's his name? The GM in Atlanta used to be the GM in Toronto.
Yeah.
Used to be the GM in Cleveland. And so there's that kind of relationship there. This on the Better You Daily text line, 55305, Yates is a free agent after 2020.
Okay, so it'll be one extra year.
Right, but that's why the Indians traded for Brad Hand and Andrew Miller, because it makes, and that's why they're saying you got to trade Stroman and Bauer now.
It gets more because they have more years.
Yeah, you're getting like $1.25 you're getting $1.25 on the dollar. As opposed to you go to the offseason, you're going to get 75 cents on the dollar.
Braves acquire Will Smith, the reliever from the Giants.
Love it. They got to. They have to have a bullpen.
Nationals acquire Shane Green from the Tigers.
Also love it. They have to have a bullpen.
Let's see.
Just trade Max Scherzer and blow the whole thing up.
Chicago Cubs acquire Ken Giles.
Gross.
Gross indeed.
Gross.
He's doing okay in Toronto, but still.
Because they need more bad bullpen guys.
Right.
Isn't Brandon Morrow supposed to come back sometime soon?
Oh, I don't know.
And has Kimbrel done anything? Is he even pitching yet?
I don't know. I haven't seen really. I know Keuchel's already made like 6 starts.
Yeah, he pitched pretty good his last 2 starts.
He's 3-3 right now. I'm assuming Kimbrel's pitching. Rockies acquire Trevor Bauer.
Sure.
They do need help, but right now Coors Field is playing like the smallest Coors Field we have ever seen. The games there are 20 runs no matter what.
Yeah, especially the Giants. Like, what are you doing if you're the Giants? You're going the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? You're supposed to lose. You were the second worst team in baseball like 2 months ago. Not even. Like 2 weeks ago.
Dude, they've played all their games in the second half have been at home, the Rockies. Not every game has been high scoring, but here's some. 17-9.
Whoops.
10-9. 19-2.
Yeah.
8-4. 11-8.
Wow.
There's also been a 2-1 and a 3-2 in there. So Coors Field, not all runs.
Wow.
But oh my God. Every game that's at Coors, you're like, there's no lead is safe right now.
Wow.
So Trevor Bauer might become a terrible pitcher in Colorado, but they do need to do something.
Yeah, I think the tough thing, what's killing the Trevor Bauer thing is when he goes to arbitration, he's going to make $20 million next year. That's why the Indians got to deal him. We don't pay people that. We paid Edwin Encarnacion that, and I've never seen that in my entire life.
And then he did nothing.
Yeah. We traded CC Sabathia and Cliff Lee.
So just reading that list, I mean, there's some
Victor Martinez.
All the guys that were on there are guys that I expect to get traded. There were some interesting, you know, smaller level names like the Marlins trading one of their starters, Caleb Smith. But I feel like in the back of my head, there's going to be some crazy trade that nobody expected.
Yeah. Like a Manny Machado moves, but no one was talking about moving Manny Machado, something like that.
Exactly. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say this too. Obviously, I think they might make a move or two, but they're going to be nothing. I bet you the Yankees basically stand pat.
They're going to get a starter. I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, his name's Luis Severino.
He got set back again.
Yeah. We got time, baby.
He might pitch out of the bullpen when he comes back.
We got time.
We'll see. I think the Yankees are fine without adding somebody. Like, their rotation is good enough. But in a playoff where you're going to have to face the Astros, who are probably going to add somebody, you might need it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, when we come back, we'll look into some more trade deadline stuff next week as we get even closer, and maybe we'll even have some movement. So we'll do that next week. Coming up next, we've got Fair or Foul, probably trivia round as always, right, Mike?
Yeah, I'll find some interesting little trivia tidbits and see if you can guess the correct answers, which I tend to find pretty difficult questions.
Yep. So we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, but first, there's Mike with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
We usually use this time to do fair or foul, but our main man Joe is under the weather today.
I forgot to do the open, but I have some trivia for you.
It's all right. I like this song.
It is a great song.
So I will turn this over to the second hardest working man at the radio station, Michael Lynch.
I'm now second hardest working?
Giancarlo Lynch. Well, yeah, because nobody works harder than Joe Fisher.
Oh, right. Okay. The first question I have for you,
I still can't get over Mesut Ozil has blonde hair,
is this is going to throw you for a loop unless you've seen it.
Okay.
Who leads Major League Baseball in batting average right now?
Right. Meow. Major League.
Major League. It's a guy that we have talked about on the show once. someone who was, I mean, obviously being on top of the batting average leaderboard, he's on base all the time. But his team is not very good.
Is it, who could it be?
I'll give you a little hint because I already kind of gave you a hint. Cody Bellinger, number two at 340. Christian Yelich, number three at 331. Tied with DJ LeMahieu at 331.
Is it the kid for Cincinnati?
No. He's a leadoff hitter. Got a little bit of pop. He's got eight home runs. Four stolen bases, but have been caught stealing five times. So the speed, not totally there. He's just on base all the time.
All the time. And his team's not very good, huh?
Nope.
I don't know the answer.
Jeff McNeil.
Jeff McNeil for the Mets.
On the New York Mets.
Dude.
That guy, I watched him play a couple of times this last month. He is on base all the time.
He doesn't really look like a baseball player either.
No, he doesn't.
He reminds me like of Adam LaRoche.
He rakes.
Yeah, he reminds me like of Adam LaRoche. Dude, the Mets got young kids. Why they can't figure this out is beyond my imagination.
Well, it's not. They're the Mets.
God.
It's kind of easy to see why they're not figuring it out. They're
yeah,
the Mets.
You got McNeil and you got Alonso and you got two studs in a starting rotation. That's got to win you.
One of them is not pitching very well, but
they'll be fine. That's got to get you at least 80 games there.
They might still win 80, but it's not going to make the playoffs.
God. Interesting.
Now, this player, he's on a really bad team.
Oh, worse than the Mets. Okay.
But he leads Major League Baseball in hits.
Most hits?
By seven.
In Major League Baseball?
Yep.
Is it?
Rafael Devers has the second most hits.
Is it Domingo Santana?
No.
Most hits?
Really bad team. One of like the four worst teams in baseball right now.
Really bad team. Okay. One of the worst four. Okay. So that gives me the Mariners. That gives me the Marlins. That gives me the Tigers. And that gives me
You're five worst.
Oh, okay. And that gives me, what did I say? Orioles, Mariners, Tigers, Marlins. Who else is bad? The one team I'm not thinking of?
Yep.
Cincinnati? No, they're not bad. Cincinnati's good.
In your division.
The Royals. Oh, man, it's got to be Whit Merrifield.
Then. Whit Merrifield. Oof. Has 128 hits, hitting .316. Seven more hits than anybody else in Major League Baseball right now.
We were talking about trade deadline stuff, and a lot of people have been thrown out that Kansas City might trade Whit Merrifield, that he would be like the perfect person to go to the Cubs to bring like some stability, and he can play multiple positions. If you're Kansas City and you're rebuilding, he's super young.
Is he young now? I feel like he's older than we think he is.
Really?
I'll look it up. I might be wrong.
Maybe he's just now shining.
He's 30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adios, dude. You ship that mofo out to the highest bidder.
I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they're saying, like, this is our guy.
He's our new Alex Gordon.
Yeah, I guess that's probably it. Although Alex Gordon's still there, so not really a new Alex Gordon.
Dude, he's the only guy left.
Alex Gordon 2.0.
Technically, Sal Perez is still there, but he's having Tommy John.
I'm not sure you're going to get this one. I also don't know.
I haven't got any of them.
Well, I know, but this one's really tough. I just think it's really interesting. So there are, I think I might have done this one, but we'll see. Five guys have a whip below one.
Okay.
Justin Verlander.
Okay.
Hwinjin Ryu.
Okay. The obvious.
Zach Greinke.
Okay.
Max Scherzer.
Okay.
Who's number five?
Who's number five?
And I'll tell you this, he doesn't always start.
Oh, what? He doesn't always start.
Now, to be on this list, you have to have a certain amount of innings to qualify.
Right. So it's probably 100 innings pitched or something like that.
He has 107 innings pitched.
So he's just passed it.
19 games played, 13 starts.
Oh, man. I'm trying to, like, rack my fantasy brain here.
Well, think about it this way. Who would possibly have that many innings but not always start?
A reliever.
No.
An opener.
The guy who comes in after the opener.
Oh, okay. So a long-term
the opener
reliever.
Goes for one or two, and then the next guy comes in for five or six.
Yeah, like a long-term reliever.
Yeah. But he's also a starter.
Who would that be?
And the team he is in, he's on, is in the playoff hunt.
Is it Charlie Morton?
What? No.
Well, I don't know.
Charlie Morton's got 20 games, 20 starts. He is ninth on this list, though. 104 whip.
I don't know who that could be.
Same team, though.
Oh, God, I don't know their pitching staff well enough. I mean, Snell, Glasnow.
All starters.
Yeah. I only know their starters. I don't know their opening regimen.
Well, their opener is always Ryan Stanek. But Yanni Chirinos.
Yeah, I don't know that guy.
0.96
whip. 0.96
And he has started. He's been really good for them. He's got a 3.11 ERA. But he's the guy who usually comes in after Stanek and pitches like six innings.
So in relation, he has 107 innings pitched. How many does – I'm trying to think somebody that's good but has missed a few starts. Like, well, let's just tell me how many does Max Scherzer have, innings?
129.
Oh, so it's not even that much more.
No.
That's those six starts right there. He'd have more innings.
It's also the fact that it's usually – those are the two innings right there.
Yeah.
In six starts, he misses two innings. That's 12. That puts him at 121.
Wow.
Or that's not math. 119. There you go.
How scared are you of the Tampa Bay Rays?
Not very.
Not very.
No, the Yankees have played pretty well against them.
Yeah. Especially CC. Good old CC.
Yeah.
He's such a troll.
I like the Rays. They're a team that I've always enjoyed watching, but right now, F the Rays. Yeah. They're the main competition.
Yeah, I know. And Kevin Cash is kind of, I hope this is a real thing in terms of like how he's managing pens. And not just the thing, but it seems to be like pretty genius because he's not just like, it's not like running the Wildcat offense, you know, like, hey, we've decided we're going to run the Wildcat offense. We don't even know if it works or not. We're just going to keep doing it to where he was like, I'm going to try this opener thing. And now it's like, we don't always do it, but I learned things.
Yep.
And now I'm going to use those things that I've learned.
And now multiple other teams are also tinkering with the opener if they have a guy who gets hurt or they want to give a guy an extra start. If you've got a guy who has elite kind of arm action and really fast fastball and it kind of works with it works against their lineup, then you've done it. I think, I don't want to say every team, but a lot of teams have used the opener this year.
Kevin Cash, sneaky underrated, great manager in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very sneaky. All right, when we come back, we will wrap this bad boy up on another edition of the Hot Corner. This is 1080 The Fan.
Yeah. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Shining moment.
It's 1:44 here on 1080 The Fan, or 2:42. What does this computer say? I got all these different times in front of me. 8:51. Which one's right?
8:51.
8:51. So frustrating.
It's so weird that you care so much. As long as there's one working clock, who cares?
Because it's stupid, man. Back in the day, I used to have three working clocks.
Which seems like overkill. Why do you need three?
Because everywhere I look, there's a clock.
To help keep you on time.
Yeah, yeah. This ain't doing a good job, man. It's 1:45 right now.
Whoa. We're either on really early or really late. Hot Corner after dark. The final edition of Hot Corner.
Hot Corner at sunrise.
Oh, God.
That'd be so awful. Like, no offense to, you know, Dusty and Cam or whoever out there in radio world does morning shows. I know they usually get paid really well, you know, morning guy, like the national morning guys. That's, you know, that's that morning drive is probably the most listened to sports talk radio. But, oof, no thanks.
I think I could do it.
Well, I could do it. I'd figure it out, but I wouldn't be happy.
But right now, that does not sound appealing because my schedule is completely the opposite.
Yeah, can you imagine being drunk at 8:30? Because I got to get to bed at 9. You know, like sometimes.
So what you're saying is you change nothing about your life.
You just shift the hours.
So you're going to start drinking at like 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, dude, that's awful.
And you're hammered when people are getting off work and going into restaurants for dinner. You're like, hey.
Yeah. Last call's happy hour.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah, dude. I'd be having dinner with like 80-year-olds. I'm like, it's 3 o'clock, man. I got to have dinner.
It'll be in bed
I can't eat at 6. Like, I go to sleep at 8.
Hey, are you blacked out drunk by 8 o'clock? You're, like, lying in bed. What should I watch? Ooh, Futurama tonight. Sun's not even down. You're just hammed.
Well, it's like 8 o'clock. Futurama's not even on.
Oh, you got no, I got Hulu.
You put, like, Fox 12 News on.
Yeah. Oh, watch the news. You switch to DirecTV. I think it's Dish. And so you get everything East Coast time. You just live East Coast time. Yeah, man. I wake up at 6 every day. It's great. No, that's 3 Pacific time.
You're just watching Good Morning America on the East Coast
channel.
Yeah,
it's like Mike and Mike. I always remember when I was younger, if I was up with people and we were flipping through, like ESPN was on, if you ever saw the televised Mike and Mike, it was time to go to bed. You know, it's like, oh God.
Oh God.
We're West Coast. You got to go to bed.
Yeah, I've done that show before where I filled in.
I've done it a couple times too.
And for the one day, because I want to say that I get here at like 4:30 at the latest if I was doing that show.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an hour and a half to kind of prep and get stuff ready. So that means, you know, if you're actually trying to be presentable in the morning, which I understand if you don't want to, you're getting up at like, oh, I don't know, maybe 3:45 or something like that. Quick shower, have some coffee and go, maybe 3:30. But if you just like want to roll out of bed, grab a to-go cup of coffee and leave your basketball shorts on, you can get up at like 4:15 and just go to work.
Yeah.
But people who work not radio jobs at that hour have to, you know, be presentable at work.
So, right. But then it's like,
so doing it one day is okay. And the idea of having from, if again, radio world, not normal working world, having from 9 until you
bedtime.
Go to sleep off sounds fantastic. But I have a feeling that over time you would just become exhausted.
Right. Right.
And like, you would miss all the 7 p.m. sports games.
Exactly.
That are very important
on
the West
There's Coast. No Pac-12 after dark for you.
No. Well, you could stay up on Saturdays.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I get real jacked for Arizona State UCLA on a Thursday night at 7:30.
Do you?
No. They always give us the worst games. Pac-12 after dark is always the worst game.
But they turn out to be good games.
Right, but they're two teams that I really don't care about. Unless it's like Wazoo beating USC on a Friday night after dark. What's up? I don't know. What do you do from 9 in the morning till bedtime?
Well, you either take
a
nap.
You start drinking at noon.
You either take a nap, get a workout in, and then do whatever you would do at night. Just do it during the day. The only problem is that everyone else will be working, so you can't do it with anybody.
You would be king of happy hours, though.
Yeah.
You would know all the best ones.
And you would also save a lot of money that way, actually.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, when we come back next week, we'll get a little trade deadline stuff going on. I think we'll really start to see some stuff take shape in terms of teams and who's buyers, who's sellers. So we'll have a big episode for that. Don't worry. We'll have that in store for you. Beers on Us podcast drops tomorrow at 4. Make sure you download that wherever you get your podcasts and go do something I would do. Like blacked out at 8 p.m. because I work at 4.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.